Congress leaders Priyanka Gandhi Vadra and Mallikarjuna Kharge on Sunday flipped the BJP's pitch against Rahul Gandhi, saying that it was Prime Minister Modi who has led the BJP's caustic attacks against the Gandhi family, who've insulted Rahul Gandhi's Kashmiri Pandit lineage. Calling Rahul Gandhi the son of a martyr, his sister Priyanka Gandhi Vadra said the BJP insulted him every day, not even sparing the Nehru Gandhi family, as the Congress held a day-long demonstration across the country to protest his disqualification from the Lok Sabha, with her asking why no cases against the Prime Minister.
आप मीर जाफर कहते हैं, आपके मंत्री मेरी मां का अपमान भरी संसद में करते हैं, आपके एक मुख्यमंत्री कहते हैं कि राहुल गांधी को पता भी नहीं है कि उनका पिता कौन है, आपके प्रधानमंत्री भरी संसद में खड़े होकर कहते हैं कि ये परिवार नेहरू नाम को इस्तेमाल क्यों नहीं करता, पूरे परिवार का अपमान करते हैं, कश्मीरी पंडित समाज के रिवाज का अपमान करते हैं, जिसके तहत एक बेटा अपने बाप के मरने पर पगड़ी पहनता है, परिवार की परंपरा को आगे बढ़ाता है, लेकिन आप पर कोई मुकदमा नहीं होता।
So the opposition has come together to slam the government on Rahul Gandhi's disqualification. We're asking on left, right and centre, a newfound dynamic in the opposition, thanks to the BJP, has the disqualification backfired? And joining us now on left, right and centre is a senior Congress leader, Member of Parliament, Shashi Tharoor. Thank you for your time, Mr. Tharoor. First and foremost, the BJP's pitch against Rahul Gandhi is that he has insulted an entire community, that his remarks from 2019, which led to his defamation conviction and his parliament disqualification, is an insult, they say, to an OBC community. Your response to that charge first?
Well, that charge is preposterous, Sarah, because no one imagines that Lalit Modi and Nirav Modi, two of the three Modis he mentioned in that offending speech, are anything remotely that qualifies as backward. First of all, they're not backward by caste. Secondly, they're not backward in their own levels of income and lifestyle. They're living luxurious exiles in London. I think it's preposterous to say that these two people who have taken their ill-gotten gains into fugitive status in a foreign land and are living in the lap of luxury, to say that pointing that out is an assault on OBCs stretches common sense to the breaking point, Sarah. It makes absolutely no sense to say that. What is more, in Rahul Gandhi's remarks, he had specifically said, in sab ke naam pe, in sab being these three names, it was these three people that he was specifically referring to. He was not by any means suggesting that all Modis are thieves or all thieves are Modis or anything like that. He was pointing specifically to these three individuals, two of whom at the very least don't qualify for the designation of OBC or any kind of BC. So let's really say that that defense by the BJP is preposterous.
But in the end, it all boils down to political narrative and which one will stick, and dirty politics. So let me ask you, we have a combative Rahul Gandhi, and yesterday he hit out at the Prime Minister over his disqualification, and in a clever swipe, used the Savarkar reference to answer as to why he doesn't apologize over his remarks in London. But Mr. Tharoor, legally, this is quite a setback, isn't it? Because this could bar him from contesting for 8 years, unless the higher court overrules it.
It is in this initial stage a setback. But the fact of the matter is that indeed an appeal is permitted for the next 30 days. He's been given to appeal, and the appeal will take place, I'm sure, much faster. The appeal will certainly request a stay of the conviction. So I'm hoping that we can prevent though that worst outcome from happening. We have good lawyers. We believe that the complainant has a very weak case. As I said, the actual statement lends itself at the very least to a more innocent interpretation that specifically reduces it to those three people, so that a fourth Modi, Mr. Purnesh Modi, the complainant, cannot possibly demonstrate that he was targeted in any way, shape or form. form. And therefore, I think it's entirely possible for us to be able to win a stay of that conviction, pending a more detailed appeal in the High Court. So that's the first thing, that it is bad news, but that bad news can be tackled before it becomes fully operative as bad news. But the second thing is also that it's been good news. There's been a silver lining to this cloud, Sarah, and that's come in the form of an unexpected and indeed unprecedented level of opposition unity. We've seen, for example, regional parties in the opposition that in each of their states have regarded Congress as a principal opponent, actually come right out and stand by our side. You've seen Mr. Kejriwal in Delhi, Mamata Banerjee in Bengal, K. Chandrasekhar Rao in Hyderabad. These are not figures who have in the past been willing to associate themselves in any way with the Congress or be on the same platform as the Congress in recent years, and they have come out and said they're with us. So that opposition unity could actually turn out to be exhibit number one in the law of unintended consequences of the BJP's action. It could still boomerang on them.
So according to you, this is a self-goal by the BJP. And I'll get to the opposition unity aspect of this. I just want to carry on a little more about whether there's going to be legal recourse or moral high ground, which is what we're seeing out of the Congress right now. The court had granted bail, suspended the sentence for 30 days, allowing a chance to appeal to a higher court. So the Congress will be appealing, because the BJP yesterday also, Ravi Shankar Prasad, was trying to imply that you are on a weak wicket, which is why we haven't seen an immediate appeal being filed.
Well, look, I'm not a lawyer to begin with. I'm not one of the Congress legal team, so I can't tell you whether an appeal is to be filed and exactly when it's going to be filed. You all saw and heard a very combative and defiant Rahul Gandhi, who said he doesn't even care if he goes to jail. He doesn't care if they bar him for life from Parliament. So, I mean, I hope that was not a hint that he won't appeal, because as a Kerala MP myself, let me say that it would be unfair to the people of Wayanad to deny them the representation of the MP they voted to with such a major, massive majority. So I hope that there will be an appeal, and I hope it will be heard fairly expeditiously. I mean, the important thing is that there are lots of precedents for this sort of matter being appealed. What is shocking is there's almost no precedent for the maximum sentence being given for an offense like this, which consists of one sentence in a much larger campaign speech. In a political culture where campaign speeches involve far, far worse abuse, much of it perpetrated by the BJP. I've been at the receiving end of far worse than this one sentence of Mr. Gandhi's in my last three elections. And I think it's fair to say that some of those who are most self-righteously protesting Mr. Gandhi's words have said far worse themselves in their election campaigns. You know, let's face it, our politics is not exactly a sort of kid gloves kind of game. We've heard some stuff from very high-placed ministers and even the Prime Minister on the political hustings. So to have a two-year sentence, which, by the way, is the maximum permissible sentence for this kind of statement, strikes me as somewhat unusual. And that, too, I think, suggests that we're not on a weak wicket. It's, in fact, the complainant who's on a weak wicket, and the BJP, if they're enthusiastically supporting him, because the fact is that that he has a weak case. He's managed to persuade one judge. Mm. In fact, the earlier judge in the same case had made remarks that suggested he didn't think there was much of a case. Then the new judge came, and he's given a very different judgment. There's every reason to believe that a high court judge would look at the matter with a fresh pair of eyes and see it our way.
So, again, Rahul Gandhi, the Congress being very defiant, making lemonade out of these lemons. But, and Rahul Gandhi has updated his bio on his Twitter account, replaced Member of Parliament with disqualified MP. But have you been cornered? And ironically, it's, you know, Rahul Gandhi's own brash act of tearing up the UPA ordinance that would have actually allowed a convicted MP to continue until all appeals were disposed of must be haunting the Congress now.
Well, I think in that particular instance, Rahul Gandhi has never disavowed the stand of principle that he took. So I don't think that that's a matter we want to revisit. I would say very simply that as far as the law is concerned, the law has every right to operate, and I don't think Rahul Gandhi or anybody in the Congress wants Rahul Gandhi to be above the law. But we want the law to operate fairly, and what's more, in our democracy, we want a level playing field.
Yes.
You know, we're used to a democracy in which opposition leaders are treated with respect by the government, and indeed it's our duty to treat the government and its ministers with respect as well. That's how democracies function. You can't have this kind of take-no-prisoners, holds-no-barred, gloves-off, bare-knuckled assaults going on each other, because it's bad for the country. But equally important, let me say to you, Sarah, is this is bad for democracy. Put Rahul Gandhi aside for a minute. Put his statement aside. Put the Congress Party aside for a minute. Just ask one simple question. Can it be good for democracy that the principal leader of the main opposition party is either locked up or not allowed to speak in parliament or both? Or even if it's not the principal leader, you can say a principal leader of any opposition party, I'm willing to have that too. Would that be good? To my mind, if we care about Indian democracy, every concerned Indian will say this has gone too far.
Yes, a sitting MP not allowed to speak in parliament, disqualified without a chance to appeal. What does this say about our democratic institutions? That's the big question. But Mr. Tharoor, the fact is we are unfortunately in a place where we have political parties where the policy really seems to be take no prisoners, all gloves are off. What do you do when you're then pushed up against a wall in this? Because what is the Congress going to do? What if the Election Commission announces a special election for the Wayanad seat?
Well, we do have an encouraging precedent. The Election Commission did that in the case of the Lakshadweep seat when Muhammad Faisal was convicted. He went to the High Court, got a stay of conviction, and 2 days before the by-election would have taken place, the Election yes. Commission countermanded. So even if the Election Commission acts with unseemly haste, as the Lok Sabha Secretariat seemed to have done on a Friday, within 24 hours of this judgment, on a Friday afternoon, we see this disqualification being announced, when everyone knew an appeal was in process and the weekend was looming ahead, and nothing really would have been operative till Monday anyway. If the Election Commission behaves that way, the same thing could happen there once again, I hope. Look, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to prejudge any of these electoral judgments. Hmm. But let me talk about democracy. Our Prime Minister has actually said to the G20 and in posters dotting capital city of New Delhi, that India is the mother of democracy. Is this the way that a mother would behave towards its own child? It seems to me that this is a brazen assault on democracy, and it hurts me as an Indian Democrat. I have certainly spoken with utmost respect of my political opponents throughout my 14 years in politics, and I intend to continue doing that. Hmm. To my mind, when I saw that video of Atal Bihari Vajpayee speaking of how Jawaharlal Nehru had treated him, when, even though he was a ferocious opponent of the Prime Minister, and actually told him, young man, you will be Prime Minister one day, or how Rajiv Gandhi had included him in a delegation to the United Nations General Assembly in New York just so he could avail of some medical treatment, which in those days was not available in India. That, to my mind, was the kind of mutual respect that characterized our democracy. And that was the kind of way in which the conventions and practices of our democracy function. Mm. To see a democracy now where the government blatantly gloats over its principal opponent being locked up and disqualified is a very, very sad fall. Mm. And I think many Indians who don't support the Congress Party or don't support Rahul Gandhi will agree with me that we expect better of our democracy. And that's why this Samvidhan Bachao Satyagraha is going on today. We are conducting a satyagraha precisely because these values must not be lost. They're yes. far more important values than any individual politician, any individual leader, or frankly, any individual prime minister.
Lastly, Mr. Tharoor, you say that this has backfired on the BJP, and at the moment, the opposition seems to be standing besides Rahul Gandhi. But the fact is they are suspicious of the Congress Party's projections of Rahul Gandhi as PM. The opposition, though they need to stand together, is unable to do so because of the candidate of Rahul Gandhi as PM. How are you planning to overcome that?
I'm sorry, Sarah, that's an inference. That's not a statement. The Congress Party has at no point declared a prime ministerial candidate. And I would like to see the slightest evidence of that from any statement by any responsible person in the Congress Party. The Congress Party has always said, whether it involves chief ministers and states or prime ministers of the center, that we'll come to that decision after the election is over. But the case for opposition unity is that last time BJP won with 37% of the vote, in 2014 it won with 31% of the vote. So the majority of voters did not vote for the BJP. Why don't we, instead of seeing that majority being divided 36 ways, because there are 36 parties in parliament today, why don't we try and get all those parties on one platform to ensure that that majority actually gives you a majority of seats?
In one platform under whom? Who will lead that platform? Because there are many contenders for the post, and they're unwilling to let the Congress continue to hold the leadership position.
Look, Sarah, in my own personal view, and remember, I'm not a party spokesman. I'm speaking as an individual MP. I think that's a matter that can be negotiated. I genuinely believe that all the parties can get together and find a convener of this gathering, who is not the boss of the gathering, but a convener of it, pulling people together for the purposes of coordination. But that in this kind of opposition unity, where you're talking about multiple parties, there'll have to be a lot of bargaining, a lot of give and take. And I don't think that any one party should insist on any God-given right to lead that process. It has to be a collegial one and a collective one. But I'm just a private MP. I have no role in the leadership of the Congress Party, as you well know. And therefore, I don't speak with any party authority. Don't question others in the Congress about my views. This is just my view since you asked the question. In my view, this can be worked out.
All right. Thank you so much, Shashi Tharoor, for joining us on Left, Right and Center. Let's get in Shehzad Poonawalla, national spokesperson of the BJP, joining us now. Thank you for joining us on Left, Right and Center, Shehzad Poonawalla. A self-goal, says Shashi Tharoor, because there's a newfound dynamics in the opposition, thanks to the BJP, he says, because of the Adani Rao and Rahul Gandhi's conviction, the opposition has come closer. Shashi Tharoor says this is unprecedented, the unity that we're seeing in the opposition today. Has this backfired?
Sarah, now I'm inclined to think that was this all conspired rather than backfired? Perhaps this is what Ravi Shankar Prasad had referred to in his press conference as Nakhun Katakar Shahid Banjana. You cut your nail and then you say you're a martyr of a cause that isn't. So was this actually, because look at the series of events. In a case of one of their spokespersons, Mr. Pawan Kheda, the legal team of the Congress Party reaches the Supreme Court within hours. But here, where they very well knew that these cases are lingering on for years, they had plenty of opportunity to appeal, they had plenty of opportunity to apologize or to correct the statement or clarify the statement of Rahul Gandhi, which they've done in the past as far as Supreme Court is concerned. None of that is done. And then just before the Karnataka elections, this is allowed to play out in the way they have allowed it. So either it could be a sabotage and Mr. Gandhi should then figure out from his legal team whether they were sabotaging him, or perhaps it was, as Mr. Shashi Tharoor just said, that all being done so that a silver lining could be taken out from this dark cloud of conviction. Either way, I don't think that I am at the liberty, like Mr. Tharoor, even though his English must be much better, to impute motives to the courts. The court has finally convicted Mr. Rahul Gandhi. And the
so
way
let
the law
me ask played, you the question again, Shehzad Poonawalla. Have you been played? Because the opposition is now slamming the government on Rajiv Gandhi's disqualification. Has the BJP made it easier for the opposition parties to find common cause? Because first you had the opposition that was chafing against working under the leadership of Rahul Gandhi. Now, technically, whether this goes to court or not, and whatever the court, if there's an appeal, what the court's verdict is, technically he's out. So there's that is no longer something that can divide the opposition.
You know, sometimes there's another phrase, you try to dig a hole for somebody else and you fall into it yourself. And perhaps that could have also happened, because what is going to be the plank of opposition unity that Rahul Gandhi has made a statement, which many people legitimately perceive as a statement made against the OBC community? The Modi community belongs to the Ghanchi Samaj, which is categorized as OBCs in Gujarat and in other parts of the country. Or secondly, let me ask you, yesterday, if you've heard the statements of Mr. Akhilesh Yadav or the statements of some other regional parties, they have in fact said to the Congress very clearly that, look, the Congress should no longer be assuming leadership position. So for all I can say is that this relationship lasted nothing more than a day. It was a one-day stand at best, and at best a friends with benefits kind of equation, where after a day of showing solidarity,
the regional parties are back. But what Shashi Tharoor is saying is now they're back. And the glue is the action taken by the BJP. Let me ask you another question. You were talking about how the Congress hasn't acted immediately and taken up the option of a legal appeal. The court had granted Rahul Gandhi bail. They had suspended the sentence for 30 days to allow him to appeal to a higher court. But even before any appeal could be filed, Rahul Gandhi has found himself disqualified as a member of parliament from Wayanad. Is this not, as the opposition has been making the charge, that the BJP, the government, continues to try and shrink the opposition space? Ironically, they say, saying this is due process of the law.
Sarah, if you go back to the Lily Thomas case of 2013, and I have a copy of that judgment, it's very clear that on conviction for 2 years and above, there is an automatic disqualification. I can read out that relevant paragraph for you. And therefore, there is no discretion left in the matter with the speaker. In fact, Mr. Kapil Sibal spoke to Megha Prasad, your colleague, and he clarified that the moment a person is convicted, even if there is a pending appeal, and by the way, the sentencing has been suspended, not the conviction. So the sentencing was suspended so that he could file an appeal and get bail,
yes,
which is his legitimate right. But as long as the conviction is not stayed, or as long as the conviction is not overturned, which is another proceeding, there is no scope for Mr. Rahul Gandhi to take the plea that he should not be disqualified. The speaker,
what the opposition is saying, they are pointing to the alacrity, the speed with which the administration, the parliament administration worked in removing him from his post, right? They are comparing this, they're saying this is a blatant attempt to silence the opposition, because they're comparing this to the treatment given to the suspended Lakshadweep MP, who is waiting to be reinstated. But in that case, you have the Lok Sabha secretary dragging its feet on withdrawing his disqualification. But it's complete different treatment, they say, for Rahul Gandhi.
Oh, well, you know, let me again reiterate that Lily Thomas makes it absolutely clear that it's not the discretion of the speaker to disqualify anybody. He at best plays the role, or she at best plays the role of notifying a fait accompli. And therefore, there have been more than 32 people, at least I can remember of, including six legislators of the BJP, who have immediately lost their membership, yes, and stood disqualified. So whether the speaker notifies it on day one or day 10, it doesn't really make difference to the factum of the fact that the member is disqualified as of the next millisecond that he's convicted. So they stand in the same legal position. Lalu Prasad Yadav, Rashid Masood, Abdullah Azam Khan, Rahul Gandhi, all of them got disqualified the very next millisecond that they were convicted. Now, I just have a counter question to pose. If the Congress party felt that this was such a matter of tearing urgency, and they knew that the conviction came on a day at 2 o'clock, then what were they waiting for to not file an appeal even today? I mean, as last known,
I think you answered that in the beginning, as you're saying, yeah, maybe this is a narrative they're trying to spin, they're taking moral high ground. So that brings us back to the question, has the BJP been played? Is this a self-goal? I want to lastly just ask you what the opposition is raising, what the Congress is pointing out, is that you have a sitting MP not allowed to speak in Parliament, and that is all that he has said in London, is that he wants to speak in Parliament. Sitting MP disqualified without a chance to appeal. What does this say about democratic institutions? Because at the same time, we have ADR showed in the last 2019 elections, 39% of the BJP legislators, 116 BJP legislators, had criminal charges against them.
So let me separate that in two parts. Firstly, I've been in the Congress, as you know, and now I'm in the BJP. And I can tell you there are more votaries of Rahul Gandhi speaking in the BJP than in the Congress. I'm sure that many of my colleagues who have not left the Congress continue to fear God when Rahul Gandhi says that he's going to speak, like he did in the press conference.
But on a more serious note, these are serious issues that have to be raised in Parliament. It's only being raised outside. It has to be raised in England.
Now let me come to that. Now, on that point, he spoke in the first part of the budget session. There was no mics that were being shut off. He spoke at length. He has been speaking at length on media channels. He's been covered extensively by the press. And absolutely, there is a Supreme Court probe going on the issue that he keeps raising. Now, it was Mr. Kharge on 2nd February who said that we either want a Supreme Court probe or a JPC probe. This is on record. You can check the statement of Mr. Kharge given to PTI and to other news agencies. And now when a Supreme Court probe has been ordered, do they not trust the Supreme Court? And let's assume that he has all the facts on this particular issue of Mr. Adani. I think it's obnoxious that he keeps blaming and defaming a businessman who has not been found guilty of anything as of now. But having said that, if that is true, why hasn't he cancelled the projects in Rajasthan or in Chhattisgarh? And finally, as far as parliamentary and other institutions are concerned, at least Rahul Gandhi should look at his own family's history. The only time emergency was imposed, censorship was imposed, journalists were blocked, Supreme Court was taken for a ride, and Parliament was made pangu or a puppet, was at the time of his grandmother. So I think Rahul Gandhi should look at what he has said. He has said in foreign soil that he wants foreign
intervention. Will history repeat itself? I think that's what the Congress is banking on, because what we saw, the tide turned after Indira Gandhi spent, I think it was 6 days in jail then. Thanks so much. Anyway, but the question right now is, do we have a powerful government with a large mandate, but with disturbingly thin skin and a willingness to use any means thinly disguised as legal process to bludgeon the opposition? That is a charge being made by the opposition. How will this play out? That's a million-dollar question. But for now, thank you for joining us on Left, Right and Center.